Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast. This is episode number 32, Five Heart Podcast, of course, brought to you by Coronation and hosted online, jitterymonkey.com. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, coronation.com, jitterymonkey.com, all kinds of places for you to acquire Coronation's Five Heart Podcast. My recommendation, if I have one, just subscribe on iTunes. You can get the shows downloaded to your mobile device automatically every week, or at least every time there's a new episode. And speaking of, we're about 2 weeks apart from our last episode, our last outing, if you will, which was before the Husker spring game. That's the last time I got to visit with my good friend, my fellow Husker fan and broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian Toll. Brian, how are we doing, sir?
We're in the middle of one of the most overrated weekends ever.
The NFL draft.
Yes.
Not a fan?
I think it gives a bunch of teams a bunch of false hope.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, granted, there's a, you know, like the first round, yeah, there's guys that can help you, and there's a flyer in the second, third, fourth rounds, but, you know, I think there's a lot of hype made on it, just because the fact of the matter that, oh, look, we drafted a third-round cornerback out of West Virginia, you know. it's not going to lead you to the Super Bowl. You know, and I'm not saying the draft doesn't help you, because if you're in the first round and you get a guy that's, well, I suppose you could say, what, first three rounds you can find guys you can plug play in immediately?
I would say that you have that capability.
But let's face it, how many busts, you know, there's more busts anymore now, especially quarterback.
Oh, sure.
Especially your Cleveland.
That's true. Yeah, because it's all about the hype train, you know? I didn't even watch it this year. I mean, now granted, you know, there's still a day left in the draft, but I haven't watched any of it. I've been putting my efforts and my time towards other things.
Plus, let's think about this. I mean, and I mentioned quarterbacks. You know, perfect example. The Mahomes kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Goes from an offense that, you know, a concept air raid offense, which is, you know, 8-10 plays max, you know, a game.
Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Right.
Which the air raid is, that's what the air raid is. I mean, it's always been like that.
And it
does it mean that's what it was with me and Zeal.
Sure.
That's what it was with the version that Goff ran, Jared Goff. It's the version Cliff Kingsbury ran and coaches. Okay. You know, air raid guys tend to bust out a lot faster, but all of a sudden Kansas City picked the ball, he'll have a year to learn. Okay, yeah, he's got a year to learn, but, you know, there's so many things. You know, oh, take a snap. You know, a perfect example, Mariota, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Griffin's another example of this. You know, yeah, I mean, they kind of...
I could say
tinker
that.
They tinker the offense around those guys. But you never feel like it's, you know... A lot of the NFL is just coaches and OCs taking from plane to team. You know, I mean, when was the last new offense that stuck in the NFL?
I honestly can't
remember.
West Coast
offense?
I was gonna say I can't remember like a year, but that seems about right.
You know. Let's take a kid that's barely made 1 year worth of starts at North Carolina, give him the number two pick. You know?
But the intangibles, Brian, or the measurement. I don't know. I don't know what the hell all that. Obviously, if I knew all that stuff, I'd be a NFL scout or GM or something, but I don't know all that stuff.
There's a reason 26 to 27 teams are out of it by an opening day.
Sure.
You know,
there's
a reason the same 3-4 teams look really good year to year. I'm just saying.
There's not a whole... I mean, a lot of people have talked for a long time about the amount of parity in the NFL game, but I have to disagree, and like you said, there's not a lot of parity. There's a lot of mediocrity, you know? I mean, you've got a few teams that have put it all together, and you've got 25 teams that, you know, wet the bed, so...
Everybody does the same thing. They really do. I mean, the two most prolific offenses you could think of are Pittsburgh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And New Orleans. I mean, not New Orleans, New England. Okay. Dallas is different because they tend to run it a lot more. You know. I mean, running the ball is an abnormality in the NFL now. It's throw, throw, throw. That's why this year you're seeing a bunch of defensive backs.
Yeah. Right. And you know, someone like, I think you go, if you turn the dial back 10 years, someone like Leonard Fournette's your top pick, you know?
Yeah, and he's still good this year because he's, you know, the problem is they don't value running backs anymore.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
The traditional guys. Christian McCaffrey's the, you know, three down back, you know. You have to be able to catch them all in the outfield, and it kind of forelings in the college game, and goes into Nebraska's issue now. You know, you need guys that, you know, aren't just runners, you know, just plod runners, but also guys that can catch the ball in the outfield, catch the ball out of the backfield, and they can, you know, make safeties and cornerbacks miss in open field. You know,
I'm reminded of something I heard on an episode of the Cobcast, where Pat and Ryan were talking with our good friend Hoss Reuter, and you know, all of coordination, of course, and they were talking about someone like Amir Abdullah and what he, as good as he was in the offense that he was in, how good he could have been if he was in like a Mike Riley offense where there were more you know, like screens and things like that would have open things up a little bit more for him. You know, we only saw the tip of the iceberg, I think, in the offensive scheme that you know, he was a part of under Bo Pelini and Tim Beck. But, you know, in like a Langsdorf offense, you know, how he could have potentially thrived even more.
Yeah.
So
speaking of that.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Mike Riley offense.
Mm-hmm.
So we're off the spring game. And it wasn't, there was nothing... You know, there's nothing really spellbounding about the spring game to really talk about. I mean, the quarterbacks look good, yeah. You know, Gebbia threw it a lot, yeah. You know, I don't think there's anything you can really take outside the Tanner Lee noise. I suppose the biggest story, what you could say, is, you know, the recruiting hit from it, and that they're still kind of fiddling through that. But I think also the biggest thing is, you know, kind of wonder, to me, where's the running back delegation going to go? Is it going to go Trey Bryant, Mikhail Wilbon, Wyatt Mazur? Is
Divine Ozigbo?
Or is Ozigbo? He really kind of wasn't doing too much compared to Mazur, I think.
I think that in the fall, and obviously, you know, the spring has been so much about the quarterbacks and the depth chart there, who's going to be the starter in the quarterback competition. But I think throughout the spring and probably going into the fall, even though at least I haven't seen anything, you know, any statements come out as far as, you know, depth chart on that, but I think Trey Bryant's probably your number one running back. Yeah. So
I think he's probably number one. We won't see a depth chart until what?
Oh, week Mid-off. Before the game?
Week before the game, yeah. I mean, we could probably guess, I guess, but
No need. I mean, I just, you know, that just seems like that's where things were trending. He was pretty hot at the end of the season. You know, showed a lot of good things. Wilbon is still, I don't know. Sometimes he just,
I thought he got better this spring.
Oh, I agree. But for whatever reason, the last couple of years, it seems like he's been the guy in the backfield who ended up on the milk carton more than anybody else. So,
yeah, Trey Brown was part of that last year, though. Think about it.
Early, but then
because you could afford to do it with newbie. So,
yeah, now you don't have newbie.
No. So, what's your outside of that? What's all your take from the spring game besides nobody got hurt?
Nothing that I didn't expect. Like, I didn't think we were going to see anything on the defensive side. You know, they kept it very manila.
Vanilla.
I was thinking manila folder. I don't know why.
Vanilla.
No, they didn't show anything. They didn't have to, and that's why, you know, I think we saw the score that we did. Gebby is... numbers kind of speak for themselves, because on the other side you had Lee and O'Brien just kind of splitting time, whereas Gebbia had I thought he saw more of the field. Poor kid needs to eat a sandwich. That's all I got to say about that. You can tell he's an early enrollee, and the strength and conditioning, you know, year for him, his redshirt year will really do him some favors. Is there concern for you or from you for Patrick O'Brien if he doesn't see a whole lot of playing time? Do you think you don't think he's going to be a kid who would transfer out?
The narrative's fucking stupid. He would have gone by now.
I'm just asking, man.
No. Everybody wants to know when he's going to transfer.
I hope he does. I mean,
he would have done it already.
I hope he doesn't. Obviously,
he's one play away from being in the game.
True.
He's one good Tanner Lee season away from being your starter.
If Tanner Lee has a really breakout year and goes to the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's one really bad Tanner Lee, couple Tanner Lee bad starts from being the starter.
But
the leverage he has is amazing here. So I don't get why you would even consider, you know, what's the point of it?
I completely understand and agree with you, but being the devil's advocate that I am, for reasons unbeknown to me, if Tanner Lee has a good but not great year, I mean, good that he's successful and not bad that he's supplanted as the starter, but not good enough that he's, you know, go ahead.
There's a variable in that nobody knows a lot about. How good is good enough? How bad is bad enough?
Sure.
You know, nobody gets that. But if he's bad enough, he's not going to, you know, there's no reason to not start Patrick O'Brien if you think he's better. You know,
And that's the thing, too. We didn't have a quality second option the last couple of years. I mean, it was Armstrong.
Riker 5 wasn't a good option?
Shut up.
Oh, my God. Say it ain't so.
Shut up. All I'm saying is that
Riker 5 Hart wasn't a good option. Blasphemous motherfucker. You hear this, everybody?
Great. Jesus. Great. Front page of Omaha World Herald now is going to be Coronation doesn't think Riker 5 was a good checking option. No, not even that. Greg Mahochko from the 5 Hart podcast doesn't think that Riker 5 was a quality number 2 quality backup option. Anyway,
there's an Omaha columnist that will call you a jerk and block you on Twitter because you don't think Riker 5 is tough enough.
Which one? He might have already blocked me.
The one that does the basketball crap.
Oh, yeah, probably not. It
rhymes with he Jarfneld.
Okay, that's not. Wait, no, that was him. I was just I go straight to Barfy. yeah, he blocked me for some unbeknown reason, probably because you got me fired up one day and in a trolling mood, and then I trolled him, and he didn't care for that. So,
anyway.
So, no injuries, nothing was shown on the defense, which was expected.
It was boring, and a lot of people showed up and ate popcorn. And recruiting was good.
Had a good opportunity, you know, on the Big Ten Network's coverage. You know, they showed plenty of former Huskers. So, you know, that was always fine. I think whenever you get the former Huskers, they kind of come out. I see it, and maybe it's just them, you know, their way of kind of, I don't want to say reliving the glory days, but, you know, coming out and seeing their name on the video screen again. But I kind of look at it as, you know, their own little stamp of approval on the program and where it might be heading. Is that fair assessment or?
Sure, Bob.
Okay.
Well, it's always hard to say what the, I would say that, I always call the, I always call the spring game an infomercial.
Yeah.
Like, you watch enough of it, you'll buy it, you know. It's like that 2 a.m. Remember that old show, Amazing Discoveries?
Vaguely. Remember, like, a little bit, yeah.
The guy who always, you know, they sold a popiel pocket food dehydrator. Or how the friggin' hell did I ever live without the stick blender?
What? You know? Oh, yeah, that one. I know, the emulsifier or whatever.
Oh, I can make whipped cream without a blender. Oh, my God.
No, it's like, it's still a blender. That's just the handheld.
That's a spring game for everybody.
But it's, you know, especially in recent years, at least, you know, maybe even longer, but, you know, recent years when, because of knowing you, I've followed recruiting a little bit closer. It's the infomercial for the high school kids. You know, you're essentially saying that 80,000 people came out to watch a scrimmage.
80,000 people showed up and 40 kids showed up to Lincoln on their own dime.
Right.
On Easter weekend. Think about that.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. But that 80,000 has to impress the hell out of the 40 kids who came, you know, to Lincoln on Easter weekend on their own dime. Because they look at that and be like, wow, they either really love their Huskers or there's really nothing else to do in Nebraska.
Wow, C.J. Beathard just got drafted.
That is
in the third round.
To
San Francisco.
All right, well, he's all the
way
over.
Who traded up for him.
That's silly. There have been some interesting maneuvers.
I'll say this about Beathard. He's clunky, okay? But for a pro-style offense, which they ran at Iowa, he was he was pretty good. I mean, I would say his arm strength is kind of wonderful. He can make throws. I don't know if, you know, the only deep ball I ever remember him launching was the one against who did they play in the Big Ten Championship game? Oh, Michigan State, it was like 9-7 in the fourth quarter. He threw that 60-yard missile that Smith caught for the touchdown. You know, he's serviceable. I mean, no real complaints about him. I mean, yeah, Iowa, he's just terrible. Well, you know, who'd you rather have, C.J. Beathard or Tommy Armstrong?
Ooh, Tommy Armstrong.
And that's a fair question. What a liar.
No, I'd say Tommy Armstrong.
You want Tommy Armstrong's legs and C.J. Beathard's brain.
I like arms so strong. What can I say? I was on it, talking draft talk and Big Ten players who went to, went. And I was surprised. Of course, I'm a Steelers fan, and I was kind of surprised they picked up T.J. Watts in the first round.
So, poor guy. I don't think T.J.'s that good.
Maybe I'm
mean because I think the Watt family's kind of. I think it's smidge overrated. I don't think JJ's overrated, but I think the entire family name getting by on JJ is overrated a little bit. I think TJ did. I think TJ happened to
come along at the right time.
Grouping that he took advantage of really well.
Sure.
So,
well, paid off for him. You know, he's a first round draft pick. So,
and it's only money, right?
Yeah, it's not mine. I'm not rushing out to buy a TJ Watt jersey tomorrow.
Remember that when you buy a Sunday ticket? Ooh, yeah.
NFL Sunday ticket?
Yeah. I don't have NHL Sunday ticket. Yes.
Well, yeah, but I don't have I don't have DirecTV anymore.
And you can get it on Time Warner.
You can get that on the Spectrum?
They were going to try to make it available to something like that. You can also get it online, too. So.
And I'll say this, though. Since the Rams have relocated from St. Louis to Los Angeles, and I don't have the opportunity to see Pittsburgh, you know, in a relatively short drive, even shorter now that I have closer to St. Louis than I did a year and a half ago, Pittsburgh has three road games that are within reasonable driving distance, and that's in 2017 is Chicago, Indianapolis, and Nashville. So there's
a good chance. You know who they just drafted? You know who they just drafted as we talk?
No.
Running back from Pittsburgh, James Conner.
You know what? Honestly, the Western PA folks will appreciate that. They like those homegrown kids. Like, you know, Franco Harris, for his I don't want to know faults, but for his stance, I guess, on the Joe Paterno thing, you know, they still love Harris in Pittsburgh for, you know, immaculate reception and a couple, you know, Super Bowl rings, things like that. So anyway, we're moving off topic.
There's not really much to talk about. Other than if you want to talk about Zach Gannon and Dwayne Johnson leaving, which really should piss you off because that makes two guys in the 2013 recruiting cycle who are offensive linemen who didn't contribute really one goddamn thing to Nebraska football.
Hey, but you know who recruited him?
Barney Cotton.
I was gonna say.
No, take that back. John Garrison recruited Hannon. And Hannon was, I don't think Hannon was bad. I think Hannon, if I remember right, Hannon had a couple injuries. Dwayne Johnson. Now, I'll say this one thing about Dwayne Johnson. Okay.
He's got a bright future in Hollywood.
Yeah. I'll say shut up. Anyway. I'll say this about Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson's lucky he even got his degree from Nebraska. Because Dwayne Johnson, the first 2 years of Mike Riley, was not on the 105 when camp started.
I remember you mentioning that, or it was potentially in the coordination report. So
a scholarship player once, okay, it happens, so be it, fine. A scholarship player twice, 2 years in a row, you know?
And then he goes down to A&M?
Texas Tech.
Tech, okay.
Which, and I don't get how, I could see Hannon playing at Kansas. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Johnson played exactly two games for Nebraska in 4 years. And both were on special teams.
It seems like based on, you know, that, I don't want to say, let me put it this way, that's a relatively small sample, you know, to go from. It seems like he would have been more suited for, a smaller school, you know, finish out his career.
Arkansas really wanted Dwayne Johnson.
Really?
Yeah. They were, it was Nebraska. I want to say it was Nebraska, Arkansas. I want to say Nebraska, Arkansas, Oklahoma was final three.
And yeah,
I know I'm right on Nebraska and Arkansas. I can't remember if it's Oklahoma. I'm pretty sure it's Oklahoma.
So he had his choice between Big 12, Big 10, and SEC.
Yeah.
And he went Big 10, and now he's going back home, right? He's from the Texas Tech area.
He's from Houston, so I don't think it's really going home. I think he's in his home state.
All right, well.
You ever drive Lubbock to Houston, you can get a lot of thinking done.
You know the extent of my Texas driving is to and from Dallas, so.
Yeah.
Twice.
All right, well.
I'll tell you what, and people, if you've never been, I mean, you might think that, like, Scottsbluff, Gearing, Sydney, or Ogallala to Lincoln's a long drive. Ain't nothing longer than being 2.5 hours into Texas and not being to Dallas yet, knowing that you still have another half hour to go, and that Dallas is very much on the eastern side of Texas, and there's about 14 hours west of Dallas if you want to get out of Texas.
Where did you come from, Shreveport?
No, Texarkana.
Oh, Texarkana's not bad. I mean, there's worse drives.
It was an easy drive. It was all interstate. It was just long. I take that back. The first time I drove down there, it was pouring down rain so bad that sometimes, you know, people like were slowing down to 25 miles an hour on the interstate.
I thought it was snow.
In May.
Yeah, sure, why not? Snow in Nebraska this weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. Lucky them. It's storming. It stormed here today.
I do remember, you know, when I went to Bull USBC's in Albuquerque, I couldn't, you know, normally you take the, what they call Jacksboro Highway,
mm-hmm.
up through Wichita Falls, up to 44, is it, which is Route 66.
I'm officially like, smiling and nodding right now. I'm taking your word
for it. I couldn't take that road because there was a bunch of tornadoes in the area that day.
Ooh.
So I went through, I took the scenic route, and I'm by myself in a car with no cruise. Okay. I went from my house, which is my smack and diddle middle Dallas Fort Worth, okay, to Abilene to Lubbock. Now the funny story is I'm between Abilene and Lubbock, okay. And I've been calling, and my brother's in Albuquerque. He drove down with his buddies from Lincoln. And he calls me and goes, "Hey, where are you at?" I said, "Oh, I'm on this road." He goes, "What mile marker?" And I tell him, like, this, why? He goes, "Look to your left." And I look to my left, and about 2.5 miles, I'd say about 2.5-3 miles, I see a funnel cloud.
Oh, Lord.
Now, you got to remember, it's me, and I'm not the lightest guy in the world. Okay. Greg can attest. And I got me and my bags and about 160 pounds of bowling balls with me.
Now, wait a minute.
10 bowling balls.
That's an awful lot of bowling. Do you need 10 bowling balls, Brian?
I was bowling USBC National, sir. Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, but and why? Why do you need that many?
Because what you see in the first part of the tournament and what you see in the second part of the tournament are completely different things.
Gotcha. Oh, you mean like how the oil changes on the lanes and things?
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay, carry on.
So I said, well, car's got about 170,000 miles. Let's see how fast Bessie can get. Because this is coming. So I'm going, and I'm going at a pretty good clip, 4-lane road, about 90. And I see a cop behind me and going, well, hopefully I can get out of this. You know, and he turns his lights on to the side of me, and he points, says, "Get behind me." And I'm like, "You ain't got to tell me twice." I get behind him, and we get about 95 to Lubbock. And I pulled into the gas, and he happened to pull the same one. I said, "I'm not going to get a ticket, am I?" He goes, "I was going to get mad if you didn't follow me." I'm like,
"That's awesome.
All right. He goes, "Don't do that anymore." I said, no, I'm good. I burned through a ton of gas, but hey.
Sure.
But then, you know, that's a boring drive. Well, it wasn't made boring by tornadoes. But then I go from Lubbock to Amarillo, and then I look at the map, and, oh, I got 4 more hours west of Amarillo going uphill into Albuquerque.
Yeah.
With no cruise control.
I'm so sorry, Brian.
Nobody cares. You don't care.
I do. I have, you know what? You say that all the time that I say I'm
and
sorry.
Then, and then
I really
there,
do
I
have
there.
Empathy.
I get there, right? I live in Texas. I get there. My first thing my brother says, "You want some Tex-Mex?" No. No, I don't want Tex-Mex. Where's Hooters? Oh, you want to go to Hooters? Yes.
Well, stop asking stupid questions.
Well, there's a casino over there. Let's go. Let's go eat dinner there. We can't gamble. We'll determine that later. Let's go. Bowled like crap. Came home. Everything was all right.
Now,
I didn't bowl like crap. I threw it all right, actually, that tournament.
Now, you mentioned, you know, obviously bowling and nationals. Let's talk briefly about the Nebraska women's bowling team. Tough. I mean, it just was, and I think you said this, but it seemed like it was McKendree's weekend, you know, a couple weeks back when they won the national championship. But it brings me to a larger question. Now, when you went to Nationals Bowling, that was individual, correct?
Kind of team individual, all that jazz.
Okay. But if it's something like this or you know, like league bowling, you know, if you want to really simplify it down, can they really, I mean, what's the mentality, the psychology? Are you even worried about what the other team is doing, or are you just kind of like golf and, you know, you got to be in really kind of tunnel visioned and just going out there and doing the best you can?
That's actually a really interesting question. When you get to a tournament like that, you know, the first day you're bowling seven games against the other seven teams, and you're really just bowling to find something in a bracket. You know, you're trying to bowl between the first seed and the eighth seed. You know, and I think what happens is with Nebraska is this: and you can kind of see it on the telecast if you watch the telecast. If you haven't yet, go back on. You can go and watch ESPN and find it. Nebraska really, really, really struggled on what they call the fresh, and basically what that is when the lanes are freshly oiled, and it's the first ball is going down the lane. They really struggled all tournament with this, and I remember mentioning it to a lot of people, saying, "Hey, you know, Nebraska's going to hurt really bad when it comes to the fresh. And when it comes to the beginning of the beginning of everything, they're just going to be really hurt really bad." And I remember telling everybody in the room, I said, "Listen, McKendree's going to, if we can survive the first game or two with McKendree, there's a shot. If we can't, then they're just going to whip us out of the building." And that's what they did. You know, and there was no shame in Nebraska how they lost, because if you use hindsight, let's think about this. Hindsight, McKendree not only won the NCAA Women's Championship, okay, they also won the USBC, United States Bowling Congress, Intercollegiate Team Championship on the women's side, which has only been won once before. Nebraska did do it as Maryland Eastern Shore. It's very rare that teams bowl both. It's kind of a money crunch. Nebraska could do it, but they choose not to. And their men's team, McKendree's men, won the national championship, won the U.S. IBC's men-wise last year, and they finished second this year. So there's something going, you know, there's a nice little thing going down in Lebanon, Illinois. Yeah.
Lebanon.
You know, and it's fair. McKendree threw it as Nebraska got lucky to make it to ZB, you know, straight up. And if McKendree didn't win, it would have been a really big upset. Yeah, Nebraska was the ones who go in the tournament, but you could tell Nebraska just wasn't that good. And McKendree was just way better, and the TV show proved it. Nebraska was about 2.5 bowlers, and McKendree was full five solid. You know, Julia Bond, who anchored for Nebraska, who's probably one of the best, who's one of the best players in America this year, just didn't have a great weekend. And it happens. I mean, it just sucks when it happens, but it happens. So,
we're much
all right, for the eight of you left on this podcast.
I was going to say, we're much more accepting of the women's bowling taking second nationally than we are of.
And I'll say one more thing I'll say about it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't ever get to watch. Don't ever watch the women's team until it's the final match for the NCAA championship day on TV right there. You know, I tend to watch a lot of it only because it just, you know, it just interests me, and I can watch a lot of web streams and everything. The way that a match goes on TV where it, you know, I don't know if you watched or not, the bowl five frames commercial, you know.
Seems like it'd be difficult to catch like any actual rhythm.
That match literally in real time without a camera takes an hour max.
Yeah.
For seven games. And what happens is if you're not used to it, when it just elongates itself, you know, it's really hard. You know, you're asked to throw a shot every 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, and it's not easy. You know, it's not an easy condition. You struggle with it all week, and you're trying to throw your best shot, and you know it's really easy to go. You know, game four, game five is when it gets a little easier. Game one, when you know your nerves are there, and you're, you know, and that was one of the things that I kind of wondered about with Kendry. Would their nerves be okay being on TV for the first time like that in a big stage?
Sure.
On, you know, and if you watched, it wasn't an actual true bowling center. It's a constructed center that USBC is using this year for their women's championship.
Hmm.
If you're not used to it, it's really kind of hard. But McKendry did well in Nebraska. I thought probably could have done a little better. A couple girls, I thought, you know, and like I said, Nebraska has finished first or second every year for the last 5 years. It's really hard to sit there and say, you know, we didn't do well. The fact that Nebraska got there after they almost lost Saturday morning on the stupidest technicality known to mankind.
Right. Yeah. After Friday and early Saturday, it was.
Early Saturday, you know, you beat a team, then all of a sudden you realize one of your players did something not good, and you have to end up bowling a roll off. So, it is what it is. I mean, it happens. So, got there, it was good, cool. Yeah.
Final topic before we wrap things up here. The I'm trying to think of the word. It's currently escaping me. It's a promotion that they were doing over at Ohio State this weekend for the baseball series between the Buckeyes.
Bruce Buckeye hat.
Right.
Bruce Buckeye hats.
But I was trying to think of the word that wasn't promotion, but it was anyway. So they have a picture of Brutus dabbing on these hats that they were giving to the first 400 students to go to tonight's game or Friday night's game, which of course was postponed. And they're going to finish
it
off that
suspended.
One.
Suspended. Well, postponed means they just stopped it.
You're right.
Try again.
You're right. Suspended for tonight. They're going to pick it up tomorrow and then play tomorrow's game after. So not quite a doubleheader, but a header and a half, if you will. But can we just put an end to the dab? I mean, I know that that's coming off very old man-ish, but has it not been played out?
Sure.
Okay. Brian's on board. All right. That's it. Sure. That's it. That's the end of our episode. We agreed on something. It's a good
all
time
right,
to wrap
now.
It. Brian, have a wonderful week, and we'll talk again if all goes well next week.
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo?
Raggy.
All right. He's Brian Toll. My name is Greg Mahochko. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Five Heart Podcast. And, of course, it is brought to you by Coronation and hosted on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, where there are other podcasts that might just be of interest to you. There's the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast with Kevin Hunsberger. That's all about your professional wrestling, both on the national, international scenes and some more regional promotions. There is Positive Cynicism with Chad Smart, and that is more or less what it sounds like. He's trying to remind you to be positive by putting his particular cynical spin on things, so check that out. And then
I want to be on his podcast because, man, that sounds like we clash.
What would your opposite of that be? Negative.
Buddy, we'd record for 2 hours and want to stab each other.
Chad's a pretty nonviolent guy.
I'm not. Things change.
But you can check out Positive Cynicism. And, of course, my other podcast, which is the oldest podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. Don't let the numbers fool you just because Kevin has 127 episodes because he records regularly, and I have 74 episodes because I don't. I've been podcasting on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, which I co-founded back in June of 2013. So that's when I started Nerds United. And if you like comic books, Star Wars, movies, whatever, all that other good stuff, That's where you'll find it, Nerds United. All of these shows are available on iTunes and, of course, jitterymonkey.com. But this is the Five Heart Podcast, and I do appreciate you tuning in. Share it with your friends and leave a review on iTunes. For Brian Toll, I'm Greg Mahochko, reminding you that Five Heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.